Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name is Dan.
Dan, today we are starting Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros. I'm excited. It must be said that this is kind of a different genre than what we're than what's in our wheelhouse. We're stepping out of our comfort zone a little bit,
just a tiniest little bit. And only insofar that like characters get described as hot now.
Right.
That's pretty much right. The only difference. There's still dragons in like school and we're fighting with people. It's just also now there are hot guys that are described as being hot.
I have to say it feels right in our wheelhouse now that I'm thinking about this, because you're right, like school fantasy with dragons.
Yeah.
Much more focused on the hot dudes.
Right. We've got a hot alert within the first two chapters.
Yeah.
Which normally in books we read, it comes much later. Like normally that's happening like chapter 15 or 34, you know, down the line. Right.
One of those two. Yeah. So far so good. So far I've been enjoying it.
Did we already say how far we got?
Well, we have not. Okay. So we are roughly a third of the way through. So we've stopped at chapter 13.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of us had a warm up today, actually. So we're gonna listen, Dan. It's a hot book. I'm already warm.
I know.
Up.
I was gonna say this book's hot enough, Luke.
We don't need one.
We're crispy.
So we're gonna just jump into the book.
Mm-hmm. Luke, I mean, I kind of want to get us started on a big question. Here.
Okay, we're starting with the big picture.
I want to start you with a big picture question. How disappointed are you if you bond a dragon, you go through this whole process, you bond a dragon, and then your like special magical ability is like you're a super taster? Because the range, the range of the powers that they've talked about is so broad here.
Broad in terms of like what the actual application is.
Yeah.
But I feel like so far all of the ones that we've seen have at least been pretty impactful.
Yeah. Okay. Fair. But we've also heard from some that are just like general water, fire, and ice manipulation, which if I have a choice between like, you get to be like a shadow wizard who can like get cool shadows to do stuff, or like, hey, here's a power where you can see into the future. And instead it's like, hey, you're really good at ice magic. And it's like, okay, fine. That's cool, I guess.
Yeah. It's fine. Yeah.
But you also imagine like there have to be some on the far end of the spectrum. Like this gold dragon has definitely got the super taster ability, right? That's why nobody's bonding with it.
I don't know. Because the implication here, this is my last note, but since we're doing big picture.
Yeah.
The gold dragon has got something cool going on. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I see your point that it will probably, if it bonds with someone, that's a hypothetical at this point, will give them some kind of crazy power. Now, my assumption would be that the power would be crazy useful, but you're coming at us with a very obscure, non-useful.
Right. Like ability to talk to insects or something.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
No, come on.
I think this, going to the theme of the book and the society in general, my belief is that if you bond a dragon and get a really weak power, like being a super taster, that's not useful in, particularly,
okay,
they kill
well.
You.
Rude. Wait, they kill you? Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they're like, no, that's not useful enough.
That's a waste of a dragon. Try again.
Right. Because the dragon can live.
Right. Oh, interesting.
And they're ruthless.
Interesting.
Because I think also, doesn't the dragon get a little bit of the power too?
I think so. Yeah. I think it's a symbiotic relationship.
So if I'm like a really cool dragon, and I bond someone and they give me a weak power. No.
What do you think that blasted? What do you think that conversation's like when they bond? The dragon's like, oh, sick. What power did we get? And the rider is like, ah, okay. I think I know what it is. Now, I will say you should have asked me a little bit more about my hobbies and interests because I am really into fine dining, and that did not come up in the survey. And so, like, this is going to be fun for us, right? We could go really enjoy this. The dragon's like, you're blasted. I'm blasting you now.
Yeah, yeah.
But as a human, you've got to be trying to spin it, right? Like, oh, we could detect
big spins.
Poisons.
Yeah.
We could be a great poison detection system. Hold on, don't blast me. Wait, don't blast me, please. We can make this work.
Yeah, you got to bring out your best argument for sure.
Right.
I don't know. And the super taster one is just an example.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. To some degree, like, the power almost seems secondarily so far. I mean, obviously you mentioned that some people's are really cool. Mm-hmm. But interestingly, a lot of the motivation from the students so far seems to be just like, yeah, it's kind of badass to ride a dragon.
I mean, yeah.
Like, oh, it'd be cool if I got a power too, but like mostly I want to be a cool dragon rider.
I mean, for sure. I almost feel like having the powers takes a little bit away from it. You know what I mean? Because there is a chance that you get a silly power, like flower power or something like that.
Well. Yeah. It seems like it's kind of interesting because in these types of books, I would thematically think that different types of dragons provide specific powers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's not the case here. It seems like the power is like somewhat random and actually more related to the rider than the dragon.
They mention it's like a symbiosis, so you could probably sort of predict what it's going to be.
Right.
But, like, at least the genre.
I wonder if you can game it a little bit.
Ooh, okay.
Of, like, what your hobbies are.
Right, you're cultivating a personality that's going to give you a cool power.
Zayden, do you think for the first 20 years of his life, or however long, was just, like, into shadows?
He was actually really into Batman cosplay, and then that just really fit right into this dragon's deal.
Yeah. I think you can tweak it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I do actually want to talk about the powers for a little bit more though.
Okay.
Because what seems like an incredibly valuable power, I actually wonder if it's valuable at all. And that's the power of seeing the outcome of a battle.
Ooh, okay.
So here's why I think it might not be as powerful. It sounds pretty limited. It doesn't sound like you can just generally see the future. It sounds like you can just tell how a battle's gonna go before it starts.
Right.
And I feel like if you're a good commander, you can already, for the most part, predict how a battle's going to go. Like, this is 90% of war strategy is choosing which battles to fight and which battles to not fight.
Mm-hmm.
And so if 90% of the time you don't need to use your power to, like, tell if a battle's going to go well or not, it's like, oh, this really isn't that helpful. Like, yeah, everybody else knew we should have retreated too.
Well, it's, okay, this is very interesting, actually, because I don't think it was meant to bring about the discussion that I think we're about to have. But if it tells you the outcome of the battle,
yeah,
you cannot really do anything
to change that
about the battle.
Correct.
You can only respond to the outcome.
Yes.
And so you can't... I don't know if this is how it works, yeah. But like, you can't even pick and choose the battle, right? Because then the power wouldn't work, because then there would be no battle. Well, like you can't be like, here's this battle that's about to happen to show me the outcome. Oh, the outcome's bad for us. Let's not do the battle. Because then the power wouldn't work.
Not actually seeing the future. I will say, I think the power is to be able to tell what the outcome of the battle would be if you chose to fight it. That's how I'm operating right now. Not just a general future power. Because otherwise, yeah, then you're just like the worst person to have on the battlefield because you're just going to be like, hey, we're going to lose, but there's nothing we can do about it.
Bring in the healers. Make sure they're ready.
Yeah. So I feel like it is a power that lets you know if you should fight or not, like what the outcome would be if you fought.
Okay.
Because otherwise, the outcome would be win if you can see how you would lose and then just always counter that perfectly.
Right.
Related to like one of the last books that we've read. Where we're just time looping, you know?
Right. This is, yeah, okay.
So my main point here...
Future stuff is just very... It's too much. It's too much to talk about.
Honestly, I might want ice powers instead, if I'm being real.
Yeah.
Give me a snow cone and good strategy class. Give me a class that I learn general battlefield strategy, and I study history, and I learn about tactics... And then also I can make a rad snow cone.
Yeah, the snow cone is critical. I also think that if you have this guy, maybe it probably actually affects your strategy too much, if anything. And you start becoming like too cautious, maybe. Ooh. I can see it.
Okay. Yeah, this seems right to me.
It's an interesting power. Mm. Also, since we're doing powers, Danes... Is it Dane, I think?
Yeah.
That has this power where he can see...
Oh, yeah. Recent memories.
Recent memories if he, like, holds people's faces.
Yeah.
I actually would hate that power.
Yeah.
Because, like, the only use case in it is, like, interrogation. Interrogations.
Yeah.
I don't want to say the only use case, but, like, the primary one.
Yeah.
And that kind of just sucks. I don't want to do that.
Totally agree. You know what they really need to be doing here is they need to be moving people around to different divisions based on their power, because this power would be so good for a scribe to be able to like write a record of a thing that has happened with like perfect detail.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's a great use case for this. Put him down there with the scribes. He keeps trying to get our main character to go down and be a scribe. Fuck that. You go be a scribe.
I agree. give me ice powers over that. Ice powers is our baseline.
I think ice powers are neutral.
That's our standard.
Yes, that's zero. That's your hydrogen electrode, and then we're plus minus from there.
That's right. Okay. Are you ready to move on from powers?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, because I have a note about the nation that they're part of and kind mm-hmm. of. Okay, so what we've heard of, and it's a key plot, is that there was a rebellion somewhat recently.
Uh-huh.
Seems like I think timeline wise, like 3 or 4 years ago is when it ended or something.
Yeah.
And so the nation that we belong to chose to kill the leaders of the rebellion in front of their children.
Correct.
And then to also punish the children, draft them into the most like powerful positions of the army.
Also correct. Also a big note I've got here.
And I do I will recognize that like the idea is that there's a very high death count during this process, so it's like they're gonna die.
Yeah.
This is so stupid.
Yeah, for sure. Huh? Who made this call, guys?
What are you doing? What are you talking about? Like, this is how it's like, hey, I know that we successfully put down this rebellion, but I'd like to try again. in a few years.
They've like essentially created an insurgency and then were like, hey, let's put them in like officer school.
Yeah.
Like, but even worse than that, because like the powers they could get are so powerful. Like they could.
Right.
What? You're just empowering these people. What are you doing? Why? Some of them are going to die. A lot of them aren't, though.
Right.
You're not going to get all of them. And if you wanted them all to die anyway, you had a way of doing that already that you neglected to do. You chose to not do that other thing.
If your goal is to kill them all, like, I'm not condoning that because that's bad.
Yeah.
But, like, you would do it. And it's ridiculous to kill their parents in front of them. Be like, let's make them hate us even more before we potentially give them dragons.
This is what happens when you have a society that's run by the people that go through this fucking school, though, right?
Right, right.
Because they're like, oh yeah, people, when people see other people die in front of them, it really changes their perspective. And they really, they really grow as a person.
So, usually for the better. That's
Much always for the better. It helped me a lot. So we're going to teach these kids something. Especially, like, other options. Exile. Just send them to this other nation and be like, don't come back.
Right.
Like, instead, you're like, hey, fucking have a dragon. And be nice, please. We beg of you.
Oh, incredible. Incredible stuff. There's also, I wrote this down. I think that it was actually a typo, but you know how they have, at the beginning of each chapter, there's a little like quote or something?
Yeah.
So one of them is two sets of like
rules.
Laws.
Yeah, rules of the college. Yeah. Yep.
And it's... no more than 3 marked cadets in a squad. A marked cadet is one of the ones that is like from the treasonous group.
Yep.
So no more than 3 marked cadets in a squad. And then the other one is a gathering of 3 or more is a conspiracy.
Oh, shit.
They messed up the numbers.
They
you guys messed
up
it up.
The fucking numbers. Somewhere there's a scribe that's like, guys, we really need to change this law because it's going to get used in a really bad way if we don't. Guys, this is... We need to fix this. And everyone's like, we don't have time. We got other legislative priorities.
Right. And I think everybody else was like, listen, this is actually hugely dangerous because everyone else, I think, knows that it was messed up.
Yeah.
Because we get a couple scenes where they're like, if you're in groups of 3, it's fine.
Yeah.
Go ahead and leave in groups of 3. Because I think colloquially, that's fine. But if someone wanted to, and you look back at the rules,
We literally just saw somebody be like, actually, in the rules, it says I can bring a knife and use it like part of my person. So already we have people being like, sorry, the rule. Hot take here. Is Violet going to pull one of these later on to be like, we should kill them all quick? Look, they're in groups of 3. Kill them all.
We got them, folks. We got them,
folks. We got them. Get them right now. Quick. Blast them.
It could be. It could be. Some scribe somewhere messed up and said inclusive and when they didn't mean it.
Mm. Damn.
You can't do 3 or more.
Yeah. It's... I do think this whole like school vibe is really weird to me. The thing that really set me off was how people are like threatening Violet with like cut flowers on her bed.
Yeah.
This happened and I'm like, why is this necessary? Like people are explicitly threatening to kill her like to her face. Why do you feel the need to like also threaten her with like this subtle thing? This is a thing you do when violence and murder isn't accepted and you have to send that message. Instead, you could just be like, hey, I'm trying to murder you as hard as I can. And honestly, if I saw the flowers, I'd be like, okay, what little coward left these flowers here? Just say it to my face. Everybody else is. So like, come on.
Right. That one's embarrassing at that point.
You should be embarrassed about that. Yeah. Because like everyone's just openly telling her they're trying to kill her.
My guess is that it was one of the hangers on who's like, I've got a sweet idea. They're going to love. They're going to think that I'm so cool for doing this.
Right. They're getting hazed and they're like, ah, I've got to do something to show that I'm cool, that I'm one of the right. real ones.
Right. Let me cut up some violets. They went through a lot of effort also. It's not like super easy to get violets here, I imagine.
No, I don't think it is.
Because as we've heard, they can only have the items that they brought with them.
Right. So that means they have to be growing somewhere. Oh.
It's weird. The whole murder thing is kind of a lot, right?
Yeah, it feels sort of downplayed, but this environment, it feels like it would go one of two ways. And one of the ways we're seeing, which is just everybody's a psycho who's in it. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, if I am a part of this organization and it's training the next like round of military recruits, I feel like there's a chance that it becomes a taboo to be a psycho. And like all the non-psychos gang up on the psychos because they're like, we are going to kill these people. We're going to kill the people who are acting like psychos because they aren't predictable and are just going to be a menace. And so the killing thing is actually empowering us to like get rid of you early. Do you know what I mean?
Interesting. Interesting. Hang on. Are you saying that that's what you think the original intent is?
No, but I think the original intent is to have a bunch of psychos.
okay.
But I think there is a chance, like you could have had this to where all the normal people get together and are like, hey, Jack's a psycho, right? We could push him off the parapet and everyone's going to be cool with it, right? And everyone's like, yeah, he's a fucking psycho.
I mean, to this point, it does kind of force, not force, but like it allows the psychos, if we're going to keep using that term, to reveal themselves early.
Right.
Now, generally, I would say it's probably bad to allow murderous psychos to be emboldened.
I think usually that's a bad idea. Yeah.
Usually that's bad. Yeah. But I don't know. I guess it lets us know who the psychos are, at least.
Always good. Always good to know.
So we're for it. We're for the open murder options. Well, actually, it's kind of weird because it's not super clear to me when it's okay to murder people.
Right.
Because it seems like it's simultaneously true where you can murder someone whenever you want, but also you shouldn't, kind of.
I think the only... The rule is like squad mates can't do it. Like if your own squad can't murder you.
Okay.
But I think everything else is like, the vibe I'm getting is that there's just no consequences for murder.
Yeah.
Like if they're like angry about it, they're like, God damn it. Why did you snap that kid's neck? But they're not going to like actually punish you for it.
That's actually kind of thematic because the other thing that I want to talk about is when they first get there and they get their first little fighting match, Violet has to fight this person who uses her powers during it.
Right.
And the instructor is like, hey, you're not supposed to use your power. And then she does it again. And he's like, that's the last time. But when she uses her power, she like pins Violet and like breaks her arm.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, okay. But if it's a rule, I don't get it. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah. Right. Like she used it to get an advantage. You didn't like reset the fight.
Right.
So it's not really a rule. Like that's not how
rules
work.
So she can just do that. Yeah.
You just gave her a stern talking to.
Barely even that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I actually, can we reset back? Because I've got a couple notes for some early things that we've kind of already passed beyond.
Yeah, let's go back.
So first her mom, Violet's mom.
Yeah.
Makes Violet go to become a writer. That's the whole impetus of this. And we've heard that her mom is like super good. She's a one of the generals, and she's like super well thought of, I think. Her making Violet go to be a writer instead of a scribe, to me, is like one of two options. Yeah. One is that there's some kind of like weird conspiracy that she's doing that like is going to turn out to be good. But the far more likely explanation is just like, to me, a sign of incompetence actually in a general.
Yeah.
Because like it's very clearly showing that you don't think that the scribes matter.
Right. Right. It's wasting an asset, right?
Right. Because as we hear, Violet was like number one draft pick for the scribes.
Yep.
And so when you go in and be like, even though you were going to be like our best scribe, I want you to go be our worst rider, because that's how much more important riders are.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like, that's just a bad thing to do as a general who's in charge of these kinds of things. Right.
So, Luke, you mentioned the conspiracy, because I agree with you. There's no way she rises to respected general by making decisions like this. And I get like she's her daughter. Maybe she's clouded by that. But she's also managing a military force. And so to like waste this valuable asset in something that she's probably going to die is not good strategy. Like any of her aides or other commanders would be like, this is bad. You shouldn't do this. You should think about something else. So she had to do it intentionally. And Luke, it's because her mom is actually trying to kill her. Because let's look at this realistically, right? Violet is being put into a situation where physical combat is like a main point. It's like a main part and one of the most common ways people die.
Mm-hmm.
Violet has a lot of good reasons why she shouldn't be in this environment. One of them being that her like bones are particularly brittle.
Yeah.
Okay. So like already you only get a 25% survival rate for people. And then now you're throwing somebody in there who's got even less of a chance of making it through. So if I'm doing the odds, right, it's way more likely she's just going to die. So I'm like, okay, so the mom's got to be doing that calculation. Then you got to ask why, Luke. Luke, what we've seen, there's a few dragons that are standing out here in our threshing. And I think first off, we should also acknowledge dragons have a language. They like talk to each other. They're like, they communicate. This is like a society. Like dragons have their own society that's sort of going in tandem to human society.
Yeah.
And they have an incentive to maintain this like nation, because that's where their like breeding grounds are. So it's sort of a symbiotic relationship with the dragons and the people. But the dragons have a lot more power in the situation. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So first off, gold dragon going to Jack, the murderous psycho. Mostly,
you think so?
Mostly to humble him. All the dragons are like, hey, this Jack guy, it would be really funny if he got the gold one that doesn't do combat, right? And all the dragons are like, yeah, that'd be really funny. Let's do it. So Jack's getting the gold one. Let's put that one out of contention. We already know where that one's going. The only other one that I think our main character is going to get, the black dragon, right?
The big black one. Yeah, that's I feel like, when I was reading this, it was like, okay, clearly set up to have the big black dragon until the gold dragon came out. And I was like, oh, maybe she's getting the gold
dragon. No. She's definitely not, though, because we know where the gold dragon's going, because it'll be really
obviously
fun.
Obviously to Jack.
Okay. Huge black dragon with a mace tail is going to Violet. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you have to ask the question, why is that a bad thing? Why do we need her to die rather than like working with this dragon? I think the power she's going to get, too powerful.
Wait, so hang on, because this is very convoluted now where you've taken us, because you're saying her mom knows that she's going to bond the black dragon and get it too powerful of a power?
Mm, 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 mm. Okay, no. Because the goal in sending her to be a rider is to get her to die, not to bond with any dragon. But what's going to happen is, right, what do we know about the black dragons? They're schemers. They're schemers, Luke.
Right.
I'm a scribe. I write a little letter to the black dragon that's like, hey, pretty uncool how the other dragons, like, make you work with them or whatever, right? Maybe there's a little dragon political machinations that happen, and the black dragon is what sets this whole nation on fire. Okay?
Okay.
And if you have your daughter as a scribe, she's writing letters. She's doing things. She's also sort of a free spirit, right? We've already seen that she is looking at these people meeting, these rebels meeting, and is like, oh, they're actually not that bad.
Yeah.
So she's willing to question the existing authority here. Okay? I think the general who can see into the future has seen a future where the Violet and this black dragon team up to, like, overthrow the established order in some way. I'm going to say in some way.
Okay. And in a scribe way.
Yeah. It's got to be when she's a scribe, because they're trying to push her away from that. So I'm going to say she, like, starts a correspondence with the dragon or something like that.
Okay. And this is why her mom decides to kill her.
This is why her mom's like, we got to kill her. And so what's actually going to happen, of course, is she's going to bond with the black dragon and cause this future to come to be even more.
Because our future seeing guy forgets that he can't affect the future. He can just see it. Okay.
Correct. Yes. This is the theory. This is the conspiracy that you alluded to. At least I'm assuming this is the one you alluded to, unless you had a different one.
I like that one, I'll say. Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Mine is actually very similar.
Oh, okay.
On some details, but actually completely different. So my kind of boring assumption, because I don't think that her mom is incompetent, is that her mom sees that this thing of just putting a bunch of hot meatheads on dragons isn't working. And so we need to change it up. And so she's like, we need smart frail people on dragons, because they're gonna change the paradigm.
Okay.
So I think it's kind of a boring theory, but I think it's gonna come out that the mom has this plan where, like, Violet is actually crucial because she can think in a different way or something like that.
Okay. I like this. I think the problem with this plan, Luke, is it relies on her being like, hey, look, this is a good idea too. And then they have to change everything about how they run this fucking selection process. If they want to be like, yeah, I guess we should have more frail, smart, frail nerds as dragon riders. I guess we can't do any of the things we've been doing to select them already.
No, actually, Dan, because you're missing something.
Okay,
because
the
dragons themselves need to be tricked. Because the dragons will not accept a frail nerd unless said frail nerd has overcome incredible obstacles to prove that they're a badass.
Ah, I see. So the goal is to, in the future, then send a lot more frail nerds, and then just the rates of death go way up, where they're like, those few that make it through, though, are going to be important.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those plucky few.
Yeah, I like it. Alternatively, another alternative, Violet's cursed. We already know that she, when she was like a baby, like a big plague went through.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's got a curse that's depowering the wards, and they need a way of killing her without, like, looking like bigger monsters than they already are.
Okay. So that's a good one too.
I think she's got a curse.
I like it. Okay. That was one of my early notes. I have one more early note.
Mm-hmm.
So when we first join the school, we make it across the parapet, I think is what they call it.
Yep.
And then there's this cool show where a few dragons come up when our hot enemy guy makes a speech and they scare everybody, right?
Yes.
And a few people run away and get incinerated.
Yeah.
What are you doing,
people
that ran away? What's going on in your brain? Because this is why you're here. Like, hey, You're at the dragon. This is day one of dragon school that you have been told is very dangerous.
Yeah.
And part of the danger is because dragons are scary.
Yeah.
And you were like, that sounds awesome, though. I'm still going to volunteer. And then on day one.
Yeah.
The dragons come up and do a big scary thing and you run away. What are you talking about?
Luke, okay, listen. Listen, Luke. First off, a lot of people here. There's still like, at this point, I want to say there's like 600 of them. Is that right?
That seems high. I feel like it was like 200.
Okay, 200 of them. Sure. Still big numbers. Luke, how many people do you think go to bungee jump and then just like back off from the bungee jump?
Yeah, but these people are like... they're volunteers, which I realize is the same for bungee jumping.
Yeah.
Great analogy, by the way.
Thank you.
But they have been told how dangerous it is.
Uh-huh.
And they're still like, I'm going to do it. And I presumably have been doing some form of training for it for a while.
Maybe they watched a safety video showing about how to do it safely or not safely. And yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And they've seen a lot of other people that have done it, and they've talked to them, and yeah. Uh-huh. So how many bungee jumpers do you think step back from the ledge, Luke?
Yeah, but this is...
I get it, the stakes are higher here. I agree with you. It's insane. But maybe they were just like, I wasn't ready for it. I actually wasn't ready. I could do the weird little bridge thing, but once the dragon came out, I realized I was too scared. So I got to go home. Because they probably haven't seen that many dragons, right?
Probably not. You're right that they probably haven't seen that many. But you have to assume that if, like, I realize that this is a snap decision and your brain is paralyzed by fear.
Yeah.
But, like, you know they're going to kill you. You know you're going to die if you run.
I honestly think this is a fault of the people who are doing the dragons. Like, I think they should give them a pass here because maybe these people have literally never encountered a dragon before. They've had no opportunity in their life to encounter a dragon. They just heard they were cool. Everyone was talking about them. They're like, oh, I'd like to be a part of that. That sounds fun. Yeah. Big lizards? Oh, I love lizards. Let's do it. And then they see them in person and they're like, oh, I'm actually not into this at all. This is really not my thing. I'd like to leave, please. Right. I think you let them go. You're like, you know what? Fair. It's not for everybody.
Yeah. I can see it because as it stands now, they are basically used as props for the people that are staying on.
Correct.
It's a tough world out there.
It is pretty tough. It is pretty tough. Especially when we get the numbers that like only 25% actually survive.
Right.
That's so low. I don't think I'm taking those odds to try and get a dragon.
Well, so the 25% is like last through 3 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I'm not saying that's not low, but it's not like.
It's not the first year, but still, that's like you have a 75% chance that you're going to be dead in 3 years if you walk across that parapet.
Yeah, those aren't great odds.
I'm going to go with the scribes, I think. I'll catch you guys later. I'm going to write a cool book about this.
Yeah. They gotta have some good perks. Health insurance.
Okay.
The benefits are incredible.
We always get back to the bennies.
Talk about the PTO.
Luke, they don't get PTO. Come on.
No PTO. Oh man.
Can't. They can't.
Okay.
Can I talk about Violet a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's do it.
I think it's really annoying that Violet is so mad at Ryerson, this like big bad wing leader.
Okay, first of all, we're not going to call him Ryerson. We're going to call him Zayden.
All right, Zayden.
Because, because he was clearly given a hot, dangerous name.
Yeah, that's why I was calling him Ryerson, because it's very like, it's Mr. Ryerson, the math teacher. But yes, okay, Zayden, fine, the Shadow Master, Zayden the Shadow Master, right. Okay, so I can understand why she's angry at him early on, because it seems like he wants to kill her. Uh-huh. it's obvious to me that's not what's going on anymore. And right. I get that he sort of embarrasses her in front of everybody. But, like, anybody can see he's kind of flirting with her the whole time, right?
I mean, okay, like, I see your point. But I do... He's definitely flirting with her. That's obvious.
Yeah.
I do think that her being mad at him is also her version of flirting back,
though. Ooh, I see what you're saying.
Because it'll always be... There's so many scenes where it's yeah. Where he says something that's like tone... Well, like is kind of antagonistic to her, but it's actually like advice.
Yeah, correct.
And then she's like has this internal monologue where she's like fuck him and yeah. walks away or something like that.
Yeah,
and it's like this is you're into it.
Okay
it's maybe very this much is what I'm not
picking up on
and it's like a little bit of heat. It's a little okay. heat, Dan.
Okay, yes. Okay, this is the thing, because I was just reading that as her being like actually angry with him, and I'm like, hey, no, he's actually like, you guys are kind of vibing, honestly.
Yeah, no, the anger is the vibe.
Okay, though. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense to me. I just, it was throwing me out of it every time she was like, I hate that guy. It's like, why? He's really helping yeah. you here, and like, seems like there's a spark.
Huge spark.
And he's cool.
And he's cool, and he has like a cool scar.
Yeah.
So, can we actually talk? Okay, so there's two love interests in this book.
Correct.
So far, at least.
Yeah.
Zayden, as yep. we've discussed, and Dane.
Yeah.
And I'm having a hard time distinguishing. Okay, so they're very different.
Yes.
And I'm having a hard time deciding if this is a Twilight situation where we're choosing between two, between like two like even sides,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
or if one of them is clearly better than the other, and Dane is just there to show how cool Zayden is.
I think the second one. Because I'm 100% on the second. Okay? Dane is not good. Dane is the safe boy who she thought she was going to fall in love with, but Zayden is the one who she's actually going to be with.
Okay. This is what I think too, because Dane is so annoying.
Right. Right. And I think it's coming out like we're realizing through this that Dane constantly trying to protect her is not what you want. It's not what anyone's looking for. Right.
Very controlling.
Very controlling. Like seems like it's what would be helpful for you and good for you, but it's not actually what's good for you. What's good for you is Zayden, the Shadow Master. Ooh.
Right. He doesn't care if you're in danger, actually.
No. I mean, he does maybe a little bit, but he's going to let you face it.
That's hot.
It's kind of hot.
It's very hot.
We should say they're both hot. There's no question. They're both hot.
Yeah, certainly. Everybody here is hot.
It feels like that's true. It feels like that's true. Yeah.
Can I want to stay here for a second, actually. So there is a lot of sex happening.
Yes.
Not generally.
But like outside our perspective, right? Like the first person, our perspective in this book is very chaste so far. Like there's a little
yes.
massage happening, but our main character has been pretty chaste so far.
Yes, so far. I will tell you, I have it on good authority that will not stay the case.
Cool.
So let's prepare for that. Now, getting back to what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I'm going to make fun of Dane again. I'm going to say Dane, clearly a virgin, because this scene where Violet and Zayden fight, where they get on the mats.
Yeah.
Dane does not realize that this is like so hot between the two of them.
Yes.
And like everybody else, Dane here is like really outraged that Zayden embarrassed her. Meanwhile, like everyone else is panting on the side.
Right. Everyone is sweating and Dane's like, oh, can you guys believe this? Oh,
what an asshole, right? He's straddling her and like whispering in her face. What a dick. You guys, right? Everyone?
Okay, okay. Big yes to this. I think the only alternative is that he knows too, but he just is protective. And so he doesn't want this vibe to be happening.
Okay.
So he's trying to get everyone on his side, where he's like pretending like it's not the hottest thing that anyone's ever seen. And he's just like, oh, can you believe this shit? Like, what? Get him off her. She doesn't like it. Clearly she doesn't like it, right?
Obviously she doesn't want to be held down in this position.
She keeps trying to get out. Like, you could see her struggling, right? This is so fucked up, guys. Did anybody think about how fucked up this actually is?
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. The only reason why I'm not fully committed to, like, big virgin energy from Dane, I should say, definitely big virgin energy. Maybe technically not, because it seems like he had a thing with a lady previously.
Mm-hmm.
But at least, like, from the vibes, big virgin vibes here.
That's right. Oh, man. Okay. I actually, this is not the same thing, but it's related to this scene.
Yeah.
So in this scene, Zayden tells Violet, or at least in some way informs her, that he knows that she's been poisoning her opponents.
Yes.
And a little bit earlier, Violet has an inner monologue where she's like, do I think that this is cheating? No.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, it's very obviously cheating.
Luke?
Right?
Violet knows the rules forwards and backwards.
Okay, but like, not rule-wise. But like, if anyone is going to view this and make just a subjective decision of, is this cheating or not? Yes, right?
I don't know, because like, I think you can make an argument, a perfectly fine argument, that she is like using her skills to the best of her ability. And
hang on, okay, let me give you an external perspective.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm another student, and I learn about what's been happening, and the way that I would describe it as someone who's not involved is a cadet who is clearly not cut out for this work, was put into the school by her very powerful parent and has been given insider knowledge from her very influential siblings about how these matches are set up, and has been using that insider knowledge to poison her opponents because she's able to figure out who she's going to meet ahead of time.
Right.
That's a bad look.
Okay, Luke. Alternatively, a girl who should have been killed in the first week somehow survives based on sheer, like, ingenuity alone.
Cheating.
Ingenuity, you're cheating. Raw talent. This is... Luke, if you hate this, you also have to hate Lyndon from our Cradle series. You also have to hate Lyndon beating up 13-year-olds.
Which I got.
Okay. Which we actually might
Which
not
Which we loved,
that.
Actually.
Well, I don't know. But then you have to call Lyndon a cheater, which we did not want to do.
Okay.
At
okay.
the time.
Point taken. I will say, like, it's not clear. Like, I don't think that these matches actually mean a ton.
Yeah, no.
It seems.
It's just practice. It seems like she is, like, yeah, she gets a bunch of knives and it looks cool, but she is doing exactly what Zayden is saying, where she's, like, robbing herself of the opportunity to actually, like, learn how to fight. Because, like, that black, when she bonds that black dragon, he's going to be like, hey, are we fighting? And she's going to be like, I actually don't know how. And he's going to be like, fuck, I should have bonded somebody else.
Right.
You know?
Right. Naturally.
I love how the author is just telling on herself that she loves Ninja Warrior. Did you notice this?
You mean with the obstacle course?
With the gauntlet?
Ninja Warrior the TV show is what you're
Correct. Ninja Warrior the TV show. Because the Gauntlet is just a Ninja Warrior course. Like, it's almost beat for beat the obstacles in a Ninja Warrior course. It's just you die at the bottom instead of getting into water.
Right. Yeah.
So I just love that we got to imagine a little Ninja Warrior going on.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have Ninja Warrior in there somewhere. Honestly, true. Suspicious lack of Ninja Warrior energy in our previous books.
Ooh. Huh. That's true. That's crazy too, especially because like a lot of our previous books, you would describe the characters as trying to be Ninja Warriors.
Exactly.
Huh. Okay. Well,
yeah, gotta get some of this in here. I do like that they've tried to, or at least according to their propaganda, they've designed it in a way that mimics what they will be facing in real stuff.
Come on, though. I mean, I get that you want to justify it that way, but like run up a ramp that like gets steeper and steeper. Like, come on now. Somebody made this a long time ago as like a challenge course, like a ropes course for team building. And now you're trying to justify it with like, oh yeah, it's all dragon based. Right.
This is all a cost cutting. Like this last one was a cost cutting measure because you just took it from the nearby skate rink. The nearby skateboard park, I mean.
Yeah.
And now you're trying to say that it's the same thing as climbing up a dragon.
Yeah. One of the instructors just got really into bouldering, like everybody did.
Oh my god.
And they're like, they submitted a grant to put in a climbing wall, and they were like, why is this relevant? It's like, no, it's just like mounting a dragon, and we can make our recruits do it.
Yeah, it's actually a teaching tool. not about bouldering though. It's like relevant to the mission.
Yeah, know? it's
mission
it's about,
critical.
It's about dragons, so we got to put it in.
Oh, okay. It's a good course. She makes it. Proud of her. Mm-hmm. Little sneaky move. Now, I have one last note. And it's about the golden dragon that you referenced.
Our Feathertail, who's going to bond to the psycho guy.
Our Feathertail, who you believe is going to bond to Jack. I just want to say they all see this Feathertail, who it's unclear if he's there to, he or she, I forget it, is there to bond someone or if they're just there to observe.
Yeah.
Right? And everyone is like, oh, I don't want to bond with the Feathertail because they're weak and stupid and don't fight. Obviously, you're going to get something crazy if you bond with the Feathertail, okay? Like, if I'm in this circumstance, I'm not going to be like, oh, well, that would be terrible to bond with this golden dragon who is unique. This unique golden dragon. That'd be awful for me to have to do that. That would suck.
This
really
one
badly.
Of a kind, never bonded with anyone before. Dragon. I don't want to be that guy.
That would be lame and
I mean, yeah, Luke, I also don't understand why nobody thinks it would be cool.
Yeah. Like I get I understand that this is the fighting school, and like if you bond the golden dragon, you're probably not going to be fighting.
Sure.
That's fine, because now I don't know, I'm getting like something insane. You have no, it could be anything, folks.
Right, now you can teleport. Now you have the power of teleportation.
Right. I don't know.
I will
it's
say
very
Luke,
obvious that someone should want this.
Well, we are, yeah. I mean, it's Jack, because they've got to teach him a lesson. But, Luke, I will say there is a problem here.
Okay.
This dragon is not big enough to ride.
Okay.
Which, if I am going to dragon school, if I'm trying to, like, tell my own dragon tale, I don't want the tale to be like, me and my dragon walked to battle today. Because, like, I'm here to ride dragons and slay griffins. And if I'm not riding a dragon, then like that power, the odds that that power makes up for it, I think, are risky, really low.
Okay. Can I say something though about this? You say that you cannot ride this dragon.
It's described as slightly bigger than Violet.
No one has ever bonded one of these before.
Okay.
What do you mean? What do you mean you can't ride it?
It's little. It's wee.
You have no clue. You have no understanding of this dragon.
Yeah, it's small. I see it with my eyes. It's little. What do you mean I have no understanding? It's little and yellow.
First of all, I can't believe this person called it yellow. Obviously, it's gold. This dragon can do. You have no idea what this dragon does. You have no idea what power. Maybe it makes you fly. Okay, you know what?
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's that's got a feather power. Tail. Like, it's got to have a special power with the feather part of that tail. So
yeah,
maybe. But then, okay, Luke. This sucks, actually. This sucks as a power. Because if the power is to make me fly, it's like, well, that's like no power then. Because if I got any of the other dragons, I just hop on there and I'm doing the same thing you're doing. Right? Like, it's not valuable to have me flying around on my own. Like, whoa, look at me, guys. I can fly. It's like, no, as soon as a griffin gets you, you're dead. You need to be with your dragon.
Okay, I mean, kind of point taken, but I stand by. I still want the golden dragon.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
now we can cuddle, probably.
Big cuddle energy from the golden dragon.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Sure.
We can sit down and have a meal together. Me and my golden dragon at the picnic table having lunch during our break before we save the world.
Everybody else is like flying around with their dragons and stuff, and they're like, oh, hey, look at Violet down there with the golden dragon just having a nice little picnic. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah,
anyway,
before I save you, or before I somehow do something insane. Okay.
Yeah, Luke, sure.
Give me the golden dragon. Give it to me all day, every day.
We did only see a few of these students' perspective, right? And so I imagine, like, there's got to be like 20% of them that see this gold dragon and are secretly like, it's going to be me, right?
That's kind of sweet, actually.
It's going to be me, right? I'm the special one here.
Right. I'm shocked that Violet doesn't think this. It seems like a perfect match.
Yeah, well, that's because she knows that the black one is for her. And she knows that Jack's going to get the gold one.
She's like, well, obviously this is Jack's dragon.
Yeah, everybody knows it.
Okay, so, fair point.
Yeah. I have one more thing here, and this is sort of a big picture idea, but it just irks me as an educator.
Okay.
These instructors are shit. This school is a sham, and I think that they should all be embarrassed. And here's why. So they have some classes that are like real classes, right? Like history, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Yeah, that's just a normal class. But then they have other classes that are just like an instructor's there, but they're not giving you any instruction. They're just like, go fight, or like, go climb this thing over and over again until you figure it out. It's just like practice time. There's no instruction with it. It's right. Just like, so if I'm an instructor and if I'm showing up to work being like, okay, kids, fight. That's not a job. I'm not doing a job.
Ooh, this is a good point that I didn't think, especially in relation to the fighting one, because it's like he is not giving them any pointers.
Correct.
Even after the fight.
Correct.
It seems.
He's just being like, fight and see who wins. And the same thing with the gauntlet, right? The gauntlet is also like, hey, here's all the stuff on it. Watch this guy do it and then follow him.
Right.
That's not instruction.
Yes, this is a valid point. I mean, okay, this is rough because it's also this is the class for all of them. Like, this isn't just the first years.
Yeah.
The second and third years are in these quote-unquote classes.
Yep.
And so my original point to defend them was going to be that the first year is like an assessment period, but that's not the case.
No.
Okay.
What are we paying these instructors for? This school sucks. Why do you think your death rate is so high? Because you're not actually teaching them how to do this stuff. Like, imagine if they gave some instruction. Instead, she's like getting peer tutoring to not die on the fighting mat.
Right.
This instructor is so tenured. This instructor has been tenured for so long that they're just like, I just show up and get a paycheck. I don't have to do anything.
Right. I do love the part where Violet makes this alliance with her two friends.
Yeah.
Where she will help them study for history, which mm-hmm. that one's kind of normal because like there is a teacher teaching and they're just
a
like
a real class.
Stuff. And then they're in exchange, they will teach her how to fight.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, but the teacher should do that though. Yeah, and you guys should maybe be providing extra practice outside of the teaching.
Yeah.
Mm.
Especially considering a lot of them count this as like one of the most important skills that they're learning.
Yeah.
Like, yes, they talk about the battle ready one as being important too. But like the history one, probably none of them see that as that important. But the fighting one, everyone is like, oh yeah, this is the one we got to care about.
It's not clear to me how everyone is improving.
I don't think they are.
It's just the people that were good when they came in are still really good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the people that are bad have no knives now. So I think cheating, to go back to a point we said earlier, I say cheat all you want. There's no instruction happening. Do whatever you can to survive because you're not actually learning anything here.
Okay, fair point. Yeah.
Give them a worksheet, guy. At the very least.
Give us a Mr. Miyagi situation, mm-hmm. even. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, she's made it so far, so that's good.
She has. It seems like we're getting close to the threshing. We're getting close to bonding a dragon. I'm hoping we get that before the end of this book. I'm hoping the end of the book is not bonding the dragon, but...
Right.
I don't know. It's hard to tell.
You're used to Brandon.
I mean,
this huge contrast to Brandon's book, where so far things have moved quickly, which I do appreciate, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to get a bonding. I want to get a bonding soon. Hopefully it's in our next third, Luke.
Yep.
Hopefully it's in the next third. Regardless of what happens, you know it's going to be hot.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be bringing the hot takes.
And definitely still being dumb nerds.